Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
King James Bible. It says here, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thy own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed." I love that. "He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. "But we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Amen? Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. Come on, let us put our hands together for the word of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. God is good, and all the time, God is good. Amen. Once again, welcome to our service, Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries on this morning. I just want to give the announcement, amen, as Father. But before I do that, let me introduce myself for those of you who do not know me. I am Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I am co-pastor and co-laborer alongside my husband, Apostle McQueen. Amen. Just want to let you know the announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. And Saturday at Tuesday at 7, amen. We have some changes that have happened, so bear with me, people of God. Tuesday at 7 p.m. is Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Thursday at 7 p.m. is Prophetic Atmosphere, that's with me. And then on Friday morning, at Saturday morning. I'm going to get this together, y'all. Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. Amen. Join us for Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Amen. Amen. I got it together. Amen. And just want to let you know that you can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ccjr.org. That is our website. We do invite you there at our website to take some time to learn about us and the ministry and even the ministries that God has afforded us to cover, amen, and trust us with that are overseas as well as the United States, amen. If any of you would like to donate, be a financial blessing, amen, be a support with prayer, you want to partner with this ministry, amen, please, once again, go to www.cktkr.org. Amen. And help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If you would also like information concerning myself or possible team, and you would like either one of us to come visit and minister at your church, tap on the webpage, go to the contact us page, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen. Amen. I want to also let you know that we have Facebook pages. Amen. Go to our Facebook page and like us there. You can locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to hear and see what God is doing in your life. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Now let us prepare our hearts for prayer. Immediately following prayer, we will go immediately into praise and worship. Amen. And then the next voice you will hear will be none other than the word of God from the man of God, Apostle Christopher Mokwe. Let us pray, people of God. God, we bless you and we glorify your name. You said this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing in it. God, we thank you for this new day. And we thank you for the activity of our lives. We thank you for your mercy, your kindness, your healing power. We thank you for health. We thank you for wealth. God, we thank you for being in our right mind. We thank you that you covered us in the blood of Jesus, that you protected us all through the night, and even allowed us to come into the section where one more time if we donate praise and if we donate glory and worship, Father, we just turn it as a privilege once again to be able to put before you and to begin to magnify your name and to glorify your name. Now, God, as we, your people, come in this place, Father, we ask that you would saturate this place with your power, saturate this place with your presence, saturate this place with the glory. I ask, Father, that the combined the wisdom of your glory will be in surrender and rule in this house. God, I ask that the combined the wisdom of your glory will begin to abide here in this house. In the name of Jesus, we don't want you to just stop by, God. We want you to live among your people. We want you to live in your people. But we want more of your presence. We want more of your glory. We want more of you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, even now, Father, as we come in the house, we just humble ourselves at your feet. We commit the way to your will, your way, and your purpose for our life. Yeah, God, we are struggling in right now. I ask that you would give us grace, that you would give us a little bit more mercy, God, that you would help us to begin to pursue. Help us to stay strong. Help us to stay more in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, there's an existence that we have some pieces right now. There is sin on mission and no mission. Because wash us in the blood of Jesus. Wash us in the word on this morning, God. Cleanse us from all alterations. Fix us. Make us whole so that our hands will be purified and quenched on the end of us. That our hearts will be free and void. We lift them up, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our minds for the word that's coming forth today. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, you are holy. We give you glory and we bless your name, and Father, you are holy. We give you glory and we bless your name, our Father. You are holy and we give you glory and we bless your name, our Father. You are holy, we give you glory, and we bless your name. Hallelujah. How many of you guys just want to acknowledge God as our Father? He's holy, and we just want to give him glory. Hallelujah. Can you help me sing that with me, please? Hallelujah. Our Father, you are holy, and we give you glory, and we bless
Thank you. share with you yesterday that we are blessed. Look at your neighbors just in case they don't remember. Can't you just share with them the fact that you are blessed?
About what God is doing. We're fine-tuning things and we're getting things in alignment and in order, and I thank God for that because it allows us to make sure that we have the same What do I mean by that? I mean that there are churches where people are needing people to come in so that they can do the work. Amen. Resource is not always financial. Sometimes it's the manpower that you need. Amen. Amen. So sometimes we need the manpower, amen, to do the programming and the things that need to be done. And we're praying for that. Now, with that also comes the need for the finances to be taken care of as well. So as we're praying that the Lord will bless and bless again and bless again. Amen. Amen. Come because we have a spirit of expectation for them, and we believe that God is going to give us what we ask for, amen? So we are excited about the opportunity to serve. How many of you are excited to serve? Look at your neighbor and just tell him, I'm excited to serve. God could have chose anybody, but yet and still he chose you. You need to be excited about that, amen? Amen. And glad. Thank you, Prophet. Now, let's get into this word here. We're dealing with it's time to build. And we've been dealing with the fact that not only are we looking at the building, per se, but we're looking at the building. Amen. And when God begins to work on us, God begins to deal with us concerning who we are. When we're okay on the inside, then we'll demonstrate kingdom principles outside. Amen. But if you're going through the motions, then you're doing the correct thing in act, but not the correct thing in spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Eventually, what will happen is on the inside, you'll end up saying something or doing something, and then it'll manifest on your outside. Because the Bible lets us know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you ain't going to fool nobody all the time. The best thing to do is just be real. Look at your neighbor and just say, be real. Come on, say it again, be real. If we're real, then that means I don't have to worry about what I said yesterday, because if it was real yesterday, it's going to be real tomorrow. But if I lied about yesterday, I'm going to have to remember today what I lied about yesterday. Just be real. That way you can just be yourself. If you're a child of God, really, we really are. Amen. So now we've dealt with the tabernacle, then we dealt with the temple, and we hit on the second temple, which is where Nehemiah and Ezra come in, amen. And then we got into Jesus Christ, amen, which was our last one. And today we're going to start dealing with the building of the temple of God in me. Amen. Everyone said his temple is in me. Amen. Now, Pastor, I'm going to ask you if you would read for me. We're going to 2 Corinthians, and I do believe it's 6 and 16. 6 and 16. Amen. 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 Yeah, I know me being a sound engineer, but I hear stuff. Can't work over back. Okay. Go ahead, Prophet.
And what agreement have the temple of God with Isaac? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Go on to the next one. Read down to the 18th verse.
Wherefore, some counsel among them at these few days of the Lord, and such as I have given, and I will receive, and be a son of their country, and ye shall be my son and my daughter, saith the Lord Almighty.
Amen. Bow your heads quickly.
Father, right now, help us, Lord, as we minister this word to your people. Open up our understanding so that the words that are spoken are clearly understood in the spirit that they are spoken. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you. You are a defeated foe.
people right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the atmosphere and over the atmosphere in the mind of the hearers, that they hear the word of God. And then we plant this word, and we cover it up with praise and worship and with obedience that it brings forth a great harvest in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable on your side. Lord, you are my Lord, my strength, and my redeemer. Thank you for all that you've done for us, and we have great expectation, and our faith is extended towards all the things that you're going to continue to do and do for us in the future. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Let every heart say amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God is in the people.
God is in the people.
Come on, say it again. God is in the people.
God is in the people.
Now clap your hands and give God a prayer. It is very interesting as we begin to look at this passage of scripture as we're dealing with this this thesis, this line of thought, this subject matter here, that when we begin to talk about a building, we begin to look at building for what it is. And I shared with you at the very onset of this series that a building is a group of or a collection of material that comes together over a period of time. Amen? You see that? So a building is not something that appears. A building is something that is constructed. It is formed. It is made. And so it is that God took time to build and set a plan in place for us. Amen? No building should be built without having a plan. The architects have to come together with those who are desiring to have the building made. And from the desire that they have in their mind of what they want the building to be, the architect begins to draw and put things in order so that as he gets to the place where they can see it visually, it has to be first visualized on paper. We understand that God is meticulous in all that he's done. I shared that with you. God never does anything just, you know, to do it happen chance. Everything is designed and orchestrated by him. Amen. You have to understand that he is the one that puts it into place. Because in putting it into place, what he's doing is he's setting this thing as a foundation for something that will come along later that he will place above it. You understand? So God begins to deal with this generation, setting up for that generation, who will bring about what goes on in this generation. And through all those generations, as we begin to look back in time at the lineage, we begin to see the hand of God and how he orchestrated the movement of the people. Interesting to me when we talk about Jesus Christ that, well, he didn't just come at the thought, but a promise was made. And through 42 generations, you see that? The plan was brought to fruition in Jesus. Amen? You got to understand, the planning of your mind may be just for what you're going to eat on your menu next week. Your planning of your mind may be what you want to do in your life the next year, the next 3, 5 years. And those things are good, but you have to recognize that God already had a plan. Look at your neighbor and say, God already had a plan. Oh, you need to understand. Because sometimes the plan that God has messes with the plan that you thought you already had. He will mess your plan up because his plan is great. Amen. But understand that your plan was good. But he knew in the plan, because he knows the end at the beginning, what was wrong with your plan. And because his plan was there, he set in order your steps. The Bible lets us know very clearly that the steps of a good man, of a righteous man, are ordered by the Lord. Amen. That means that there's never a time where he calculated your misstep, because in his plan, you didn't make it. In our plan, we make those steps all the time.
The Bible said there's the way that things right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. You see that? See, there's your plan and there's his plan. And you have to understand in both of those plans, there is forward progression. You got to ask yourself, am I going or am I coming? Amen? So now here, if we begin to look at this passage of Scripture, we see that there are some things that are here for us, amen? If we are going to be God's people and he be a resident in us, then we have to understand that he's going to come in and change some things. First of all, I have to set some things in order, and I have to let you know that nothing can be built without Jesus Christ being involved in the plan. I've said that before, amen? I begin to tell you that he is the author. He's the one that's writing this out. He is the one putting it together. Amen. And as I begin to go back over and look at the outline that I had set for this message series, I saw where I put it in. I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about it. When I went back over it, I saw where it is. And here it is. Nothing can be built without Jesus Christ being involved. Look at your neighbor and tell them, nothing can be built without him. Nothing can be built. Come on, tell them again, nothing can be built without him. Oh, you need to understand that. You need to understand it. You need to know it. When the devil comes in and tells you that there's an alternative, you need to remind him that unless Jesus is involved in it, that plan will fail. Amen. Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. But we've been talking about focus, amen? And I shared with you focus is the acronym, and we're going to put it up somewhere in here. I know it's coming, amen, we talked about it. And that is faith, obedience, compassion, unity, and sanctification, amen? Let me say it with me, faith, obedience, compassion, unity, and sanctification. When you have focus in your life, nothing can overcome you. The first thing that you have to have is faith. Why faith? Because faith is the ability to keep going on after you haven't seen what you need to see. Believing what you want to see is going to come into being. But it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is there to keep you motivated towards completion of the task. Amen? Because sometimes when we get in the middle of it, we don't have that passion we need to have. And I was sharing with prophets and a couple of other people. I said, listen, you have to understand, what we lack a lot of times is passion. Passion is the thing that calls the builder to go up. And he gets the hammer, and he got the nail. And he puts the nail here. And he goes to strike the nail and misses and gets the stuff. Passion is seeing the work completed. Keeps him from throwing a hammer down, climbing out off the ladder, and walking away from an unfinished project. You see that?
Yeah.
See, that passion causes him to look at himself, get the nail back, position it right, and this time aim better. Amen?
Right, right.
And that's what we lack sometimes. When we don't have faith, we don't have focus, we don't have passion, a lot of things go undone, which brings me to who we are. Because there are things that we started in our life towards matriculation. We started to grow. We started to learn. We started to understand who we are and where we should be. And then we get to a place where we lose passion. You stop going to school. You stop working out. You stop trying to work on things. You stop trying to better yourself. You see that? Look at your neighbor and say, we got to get the passion back. Come on, we got to get the passion back. Everything about God is passion. Everything. When he designed you, he designed you with a passion.
That passion drove him that even after we messed up in the garden, he didn't give up. That passion drove him that even after he looked at all of mankind and saw that it was continually wicked and divisive in its heart, that when he sent the delusion, the great flood, guess what? The passion that he had caused him to save a remnant of what he loved so dearly. Noah then becomes the progenitor with his family of those who are surviving today. See what he has done in the destruction, swore to Noah that he would never again destroy the work of his hand by water again. Next time we understand we'll be fired. And look at how long we've gone from that point. Through all of the annals of time, whenever the children of Israel would act up, he would always raise up in the hard-hearted self someone, and he would say, sanctify yourself. In other words, you're not fit for the work, but get yourself together so that I can use you to deliver people who are forgotten about me. He actually kept him connected to his assignment for us. Ultimately, down through the annals of time, we come to Jesus Christ, who said, listen, nothing that has been made was good enough. So I myself will make for myself a body. And from the first gene, he came in and he set it in the womb of Mary, and then it caused it to split and begin to multiply so that the arms and the fingers were like he designed it so that they could be stretched out. And then his legs were there like they need to be, and his feet were right so he could walk those dusty roads and share the gospel. And his body, his torso, and everything was put together. His head was like it needs to be to hold the thorny crown. Everything about him was put together meticulously because he had a passion for what he was going to do. His focus was sure. His faith was in the assignment. We know that he had a moment where he said, you know, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But even at that, he still got to the place where he said, nevertheless, not my will. Flesh will come up and sometimes you get discouraged. But you have to remember to be focused. Look at your neighbor and say, keep your focus.
Keep your focus.
Keep your focus.
Keep your focus.
You've got a praise right there. Yes. You have to understand, Jesus knew so much about it that even when he died for us, he knew that we would be people who were trying to be culturally, politically correct, scripturally wrong. Yet still, he died.
Amen.
He is the author and the finisher of our faith. You can't complete your task without Jesus. We're the faith walk, aren't we, right now? And God is trying to help us to be as sure-footed as we can be. Amen?
Amen.
So when we begin to get to this question here,
amen,
bring up that scripture again, but go back to the 14th verse, because there is some things that we need to look at. First of all, 2 Corinthians 6:14 gives us something that we need to really study. Because we have a problem here most of the time. And really from this, it simply says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Notice that Jesus in the world, walking around in the world, but never became worldly.
Amen?
Yet and still, we try to justify worldly characteristics and proclivities by saying, well, you know, you got it. Everybody got something. I don't know how many times, prophetess, I've heard people say God is working on me. But the problem is that these same people have been working on the same thing since they got saved 10 years, 20 years, you know. If you're still working on the same thing, you might as well just give up after year three or four. If you're still working on it, just say, I ain't working on it. It just is. I'll get back around to it and work on something else.
Right.
Amen. But stop lying to people talking about God is working on you. God sent to you the answer. You didn't want that answer, so you waiting on the alternative. Brother, sister, let me just share with you right now, the alternative is not coming. And God's plan, when he said, put that down, let that go, he meant that. It's not going to change. Again, he knows the end at the very beginning. So he's not making a mistake when he said it. He already knew what you need to do and why you need to do it that way. Amen? So the word unequally right here says that you're on two different levels. I'm going to talk to some people right now, whether you like me to or not. I'm just going to give you this, and you can hear it and understand the wisdom that is being spoken to you, or you can go ahead and just go and say, that's just this, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It's up to you. But the problem why some of you can't go forward is because you're not walking with an equal gait. What do you mean? What's happening is you put the stride in somebody else and put the stride. You put the stride in and they put the stride in. You see, you're going to have a problem before y'all ain't going to move, or you're going to be incapacitated from moving. Unequal means that where you should be walking at a pace like this door, so that's the thing. You're at a fault because things won't allow you to move at your potential. Some of you have become unequally yoked to things that look good at the very beginning, but ended up being the anchor to your destiny. It kept you moored in the bay of what could be, but never allows you to get down the path and over the ocean of my destiny. You never get to your destination because you can't get out the bay. So you're full of potential, but can't realize nothing because you got things and people anchored to you that mean you no good. And let me share with you. Some people are upset that you are going to progress. So the first thing they do is they try to slow your progression so they don't feel bad about their lack of progression. Amen? They ain't going nowhere, and they see you start to move, and they grab a hold of your coattail and try to slow you down so that they don't look so bad for not doing anything. Unequally yoked. Look at these next words. Together with unbelievers. Now, normally when we talk about unbelievers, we're talking about those who are unsaved. But this isn't unsaved here. This is those who don't have faith. You see that? God said, we can, we shall, we will. I don't want to do it. These unbelievers are those who are part of the children of Israel. There are 10 that came back from the well, and 2 of them came up, and Joshua said, well, why are you going to take the land? And 10 of them said, I don't know about all of that. Look at the neighbors now. There are unbelievers around you. Prophet said yesterday, distractions came to you. Unbelievers sap out of you the strength in your faith and said you can't believe God can do it because they have their testimony of who fell before you. So unbelievers consider the same thank you where just got their help with you. They say on the praise team with you. They serve at the door. They serve on every board with you. But yet, still, when it comes down to faith in God and the things of God, they have no faith. They're unbelievers. And you joke up with them. I lost my Christian friend. What was my prayer partner? How are you going to have a prayer partner who can't believe nothing but God? Oh, Y'all can gossip all day long, talking about, ooh, you see that? We need to pray about that. Never get to prayer, but get to all the talking. Huh? We got to do better. Look at your neighbor and say, we got to do better than that. If you linked up or hooked up to a prayer partner who don't know how to pray but know how to talk, you need to unhook from this. See, jump together says that you're not just set together to move. It means you are tied and bound together. But thank God for the anointing that destroys together. You don't have to be bound to nothing. God will send through one that is anointed to destroy the yoke. And after you get free, don't go back and put the yoke back on. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. Stay free, amen. So be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, but what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And this is interesting on a Sunday morning to be talking about righteousness and unrighteousness fellowshipping together. Because some people were fellowshipping just a couple of hours ago with people who won't come in this household of faith. So they left just enough time, yeah, just to get home. They come, okay, I gotta go, y'all. That's my last one. Because, where did that be? And there you was. And here you are this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, usher. How you gonna usher in the presence when you were just ushering the next round? Don't do that. Look too much like you know how that looks. Amen.
Amen. How communion have light with
that? Let me tell you the problem with light and dark. Is that in order for you as light to fellowship with darkness, you have to squelch, or you have to extinguish your light.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you will be talking about, I'm going to put down some of this Jesus, because I got to, guess what, you can try to put him down
if you want. He'll let you do it, because your salvation is faith. Amen? You have faith in him.
But the other side of that is, when you get ready to pick him up, you got to hope that he's still where you put him down. Amen? Huh? If you want to know why you can't get down around the road, it's because you keep stopping up the road. Amen? Next verse says, and what concord has Christ with the lie? Or what part has he that believes with the infidel? Huh? And what agreement has the temple of God? Look at your neighbor and say, that will be me.
That will be me.
Come on. 16 verse. Huh? With idols. Now, Holy Spirit, those of you who are watching, understand, those of you who are listening, understand we have a problem today in the church. In the church today, we have a problem. You know why we have a problem? Because the church is filled with idols today. They are, okay.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. And let's go to Romans, the first chapter.
I'm coming back here. All right. Well, we're going to read 16 because I just like that. Romans 1:16. But we're going quickly, amen. We got a bit listed, amen. Amen. You have Romans 1:16. Beautiful. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, amen, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first. And also to preach.
Let's go.
Amen. But therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
Everybody say, from faith to faith.
From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen.
Amen.
As we begin to look here, we see that the just are going to live by faith. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's read a little bit further. For therein is the righteousness of God
is revealed. Amen.
All right.
For there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This verse here, it says,
there you go.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, the just, who hold the truth and unrighteousness.
In our pulpits, we have a problem here. Because there are those who know that what they are preaching is not the unadulterated gospel. But they make an excuse for bad behavior. So you have in your life, you have some things that you have done or some things that you like doing. And you, instead of preaching and getting the word on the inside of you, you begin to preach around it, or you begin to make excuse for over the sacred debt. So that what the word of God says, it doesn't stay.
So that we're seeing where people are taking their lives after preaching fiery sermons, leaving and going into their office, and then people run in to find out that they have taken off.
Preachers pulling up in their their driveways in between services, never to miss the next service because we go in the glove compartment and in the car in front of everyone. And people say, oh, this is sad. There's some things going on here, and we need to deal with mental illnesses. And yes, you are right. You are correct. Amen. But you must understand that it takes a grace. If God calls you, then God will protect you. If I would have known some of the things that I would have gone through, then I probably would have ran longer from the calling than I did. Let me just go back to that ran from the calling thing. Because when I knew what it was going to take, I knew what I was going to lose, some skin in this, amen? And I ran from the calling, but I ended up losing skin anyhow with the rest. So when I got to the place of giving God a yes, my yes was already secure because I understood that I can't run from God. And some of you need to understand today that you cannot run from God. Oh, you try to get away from him, but every place you go, there he is. So what they do is instead of running, they go ahead and come in the pulpit. But they never get right before they show up here. So they are in there with all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Look here, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see that? The Bible says in the New King James Version, who suppress the truth. You see that? In unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Next verse, amen. For God has shown it to them. You see that? So, what happens here then is that they begin to say, because I can't glorify God,
because I'm not going to change my lifestyle.
Because I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing. Because I found that this is paying for my Bentley, and this is paying for my mansion, and this is paying for my lavish lifestyle. They begin to think or fashion around themselves words that will keep that going. And they suppress this. I remember Prophetess and I were working with the ministry the pastor said something that was interesting. He said, I can't let anybody come up here. We had one person come in and preach a revival. It took me about 13 weeks to get these people back in the line. What happened was the man and came in and preached the unadulterated gospel. He preached Jesus, him crucified, and preached deliverance, and people were getting free. But he had them bound to servitude. So they were coming and giving him all their money, and you know, it took all that time to get those people back in. See, the thing is when you got all of that slickness thinking going on, then you don't want nobody coming in with any kind of detergent because they're going to mess your stuff up. Amen? See, I found out that it's better for me to preach a gospel that I can be accountable for. Amen? Because God is going to judge those who are out here feisted, slick, and talking all kind of crazy. You went to school because that's all that your church and father, who was the bishop, were paid for. Wouldn't let you go to a regular college, so you went to a Bible college, went to a seminary because that's where they were paid for your school. You got your degree, you came back. You ain't got saved yet, and yet and still, they have put you in a church, and you sitting over there at somebody, and you sitting there trying to figure out who's your next victim because you're looking over the sheet saying, who's weak? Well, instead of you coming in to strengthen the fold, you come in so that you can fleece over the flock. And they say, no, you need to ask Eli his son. Huh? Oh, it's in the Bible. Look at your neighbor and say, it's in the Bible. So then we have people there who are doing all kind of crazy but won't get it right. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. They took themselves as those who need to be worshipped. Let me say something to you all. I'm not just people doing better for themselves. Amen. But when you become idle because you love yourself more than you love the process to become who God wants you, we have an issue. Amen. And so often we find that the issue is just like the woman with the issue of blood. It flows, and it continues to flow. And nobody can help you until you get someone greater than you. Amen.
Amen.
And notice that her deliverance didn't come till she reached out. You see that? Peter walking on the water was just the same. His help didn't come until he said, Lord, save me. And the Bible says immediately Jesus reached out and picked him up and put him back in the boat. You see that? Help don't come until you reach for it. You see that? You need to stop trying to be an idol and idolizing yourself. And when I said it, and ooh, now I had everything, I got it down to a point where Doc, I could just look at the mind. I ain't got screen no more. I could say, hey, God, you're keeping this banana. That's fine. Got it down. Okay, that's wonderful. You got your hermeneutic down. You got your homiletic down. But, you know, you get your salvation down. And you still impress with yourself that, you know, okay. And if it's your neighbor, so we got to get this together.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's move on. It says, for you are the temple of the living God.
What's the temple of the living God? Who's the temple? Who's the temple? If you are the temple, then you need to be very careful what you do with this temple.
Amen? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Huh? Because when God is testing you, he's doing that to see how you treat the temple. He tested the children of Israel in the wilderness to see if they would or if they would not serve him. The Bible says, I allowed you to be hungry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then I said to a man, which you didn't know, your father didn't know, so that you will understand a man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. And he wants you to be thirsty. And then gave you water from the rock. All the time, the 40 years, you were in there, you didn't have a change of sandals or anything else. But your clothing didn't wear out. Your shoes never got thick. You see that? We're so busy trying to get people to see us for who we are. But God has sustained us. How do you know for real that God has sustained you through some things? There's some things that he has sustained you through. Other people have taken their life and given up, and yet you're still here. You're not going nowhere. I know how good God is. I'm not going nowhere. I'm good. And I recognize that when I realize that I am the temple of God. Now, let me give you a secret here. If you are the temple of God, where is God?
On the inside.
When you recognize that, then you stop letting everything else come on the inside of you as if you are your own. I wish I had time to go on these lines and get to show you that you are dead. You died when you got saved. The life that you now live doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Christ. So live your life honoring him. I can do what I want. I'm grown. I changed my birth certificate. Okay, listen. Who gave you a birth? And since you're so adamant and everything about that, let's talk about the other side of that. There's a point at once for man to be born and once to. Okay, so your day is coming. I hope you keep that birth certificate with you while you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Huh? Yesterday I was at a funeral, and done with the funeral, the young man had just spoken to some friends and relatives, and then he moved on to do some stuff. Saw him in his driveway, and somebody came up talking to him and shot him and another person. He died. He had the funeral. Now, this is the sad thing, is that at the funeral, everybody was sitting there dressed in green and in hats and everything else, talking about how good a person he was. Young man came in, looked in the casket, fell out on the floor. They had to drag him up and put him in his seat. Just go. Stands up and says, I want to start calling to stop following my family. Why? And then he says, I was a church boy. We both was. We were church boys. You know, when everybody ain't perfect, we went out and started doing some stuff, and I've been trying to get myself together. And some of you think that you can just do this when you want to. He was a church boy. Somewhat, he gave his heart to the Lord. But then he gave his temple to the devil. Reason. You are the temple of the living God. He said, I will dwell in them. Walk in them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. But now when you give the temple over to the enemy don't respect your God. We got to deal with the fact that here we should have an agreement and the understanding of what the life is like for those who love him, but we don't. What we have is those who recognize that the enemy doesn't love you. He is not your point. Stop giving the devil what God has created you to be. Amen. Okay, he can do it when we keep following up this living room. How can this be his temple when we take the showbread and we throw over the moldy old bread? What are we showing in that? Behind the veil. How can we look behind the veil and come in and let him do what he's going to do when we have taken a sanctity? God is trying to get us to a place where we understand that we belong to him. Look at your neighbor and say, God made you to be special.
Oh, my goodness.
Today,
let us know what God is doing for you. Amen. Amen.